is up, guys? Welcome to episode 400 of the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're back after a week off. Of course, my co-host Ryan is with me, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that gives a little kickback and keeps the podcast running here. Of course, running for 400 episodes, man. That's pretty wild. Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think. We've been doing this for a long time. You know, we've been hanging out every, I don't know when we started the podcast, but we typically do it on Wednesdays and just hang out and talk about tech, talk about what's going on, talk about reviews, talk about everything. And we took last week off because Ryan went on a little vacation. So how was your snowboarding vacation?
It was good. It was really good. So they'd had snow like the weekend before we went out there. And so I was like, okay, there should be some kind of fresh snow. And we were supposed to be there through last Thursday, with Wednesday being our last ski day. Well, like Wednesday night and Thursday, it like dumped snow and like closed down the highway that we have to take to get back. So we got snowed in. And so I snowboarded an extra day. So I got 4 days of snowboarding.
Nice.
Went out solo on Thursday with like 8 to 9 inches of fresh powder on the mountain. So that was awesome. So no, it was good.
And you got to test your new 360 camera.
Yeah, my new 360 camera worked great. I haven't spent a ton of time with the video on this PC yet, but I tell you, the laptop I brought with me out there is like a real thin ultrabook. It's like an 8th gen core i5. So it's nothing amazing. Integrated graphics. That thing was about to start on fire every time I like imported video and then tried to watch it.
How big are those files?
They're decent. They're not like huge. And I was recording in the highest resolution, 30 FPS. I think it was like 5.7K. And they're like, I should figure it out. They're pretty big, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah. Because like my GoPro does the 5.7K. I do 5.7K at 60 though, at 60 frames a second, and that those files are huge. Because you said you got the 1 terabyte SD card.
512.
You have 512. Okay. 512, so I have a 512. I think I have a 512 on my GoPro. I'm pretty sure I do. I don't remember.
And they're written in a proprietary file format, this .insv. And so I have a thumbnail viewer, but it won't show me the length of the clips. But they're pretty long. They're pretty big.
Like how big? Gig?
No, like 6 gigs for this one video. And it's probably like a 12-minute video, maybe.
So when are we going to see the Ryan action cam?
I got to figure it out a little too, like, because it's new software.
Yeah.
And I used some of the like AI that they have in it. It's like follow me essentially, or me mode. And it worked okay, but not amazing. So you got to kind of make some tweaks here and there.
Yeah, that's the one drawback I would say to the 360 camera.
You have a ton of angles, but now you got to figure out which one you want.
Yeah, now again, from the reviews that I've seen online, they have made the software better as far as like it takes less time to edit through it. But again, one, you're working with new software. Two, it's just like, yeah, you got to kind of figure out what you want from that whole 360 view, which is
exactly
but it worked good, you said.
Yeah, you know, and I had used it a little bit here at home to just like mess with it a little, and it would get warm pretty quick. Okay. Out there, of course, I'm out in the mountains, so it stayed nice and cool. I didn't tear through batteries like I thought I might, which was nice.
That is good, yeah.
So it had plenty of battery. I didn't chew through that 512 gig card. And I mean, you know, I was making runs down, and like my arms would get tired sometimes holding that because it's out on a stick, and you know, it doesn't weigh much, but you get that leverage out there, and it starts to weigh more, so... it's not like I was filming every run, but I filmed quite a few of them. So.
Nice. Well, yeah. We're glad to have you back and glad you had fun. It's always fun to like try out new tech too. It's like, even if it's not computer related stuff, it's like, it's just always fun to.
Yeah. And I bought the mic adapter so I could hook up like a wireless mic, but I ended up not using it because it was just going to be one extra thing hanging off the side of it. And then you lose the waterproof capability.
Yeah. And you're in snow. So
exactly. So
yeah. Nice. Well, that's very cool. Well, we're excited. You're at some point, you're going to have to show the audience some of your
clips. Yeah. For sure.
So yeah, we're definitely excited to see that whenever you get around to editing all of that. But of course, we're here to talk about computers and tech, and we had 2 weeks off, so there's definitely a lot to talk about. Now, if you guys do want to follow along, we have our full show notes page that is going to have everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So you guys can go ahead and follow along as well. And of course, you can reference it later if you're wondering, I want to know more information about whatever it may be that we might be talking about. You can go ahead and do that. Now, real quick, we have my buddy Corey in the chat. Good to see you. If you are in the live chat, definitely say what's up. Ask us questions. That's, of course, what we're here for. We'll jump to reviews. And I reviewed a larger version of the Fractal Design North. So it was their North XL, which is an XL or larger version of the case. If you're not familiar with the Fractal Design North, this was sort of like their minimalist kind of case, I would say. It, of course, has those real wood panels on the front. That's the thing that really set it apart from other cases out there. We loved it when we reviewed the original version. Now, the original version was smaller. This gives you some more size. So as you can see, it's a bit taller. And one thing you will notice, you'll be like, why are these panels darker than these ones? Because it's real wood. So over time, you will get, like, the color will change a little bit because it's real wood. It's not some fake particle board or something. And you can see it's a bit taller as well. And it's a bit longer. So here's the original. So it's a bit longer. So the biggest thing that that does give you is that's going to allow you to have a 360 millimeter radiator in the top. You know, I think a lot of people really love the original, but now we have 14th gen processors. If you're running any of those, for the most part, they get hot and you need at least the 360 to cool them off, especially if you're doing hardcore gaming or really CPU intensive tasks. And the original can only do, I think, a 240 or 280. So that's just not enough. So now we have room for that at the top, which is really nice. Again, you can see the difference in size here. But like I said, wood paneling on the front looks amazing. As you can see, and we get three 140 millimeter fans included with the case on the front, as you can see here, pre-installed. And on this version, they didn't do it on the original North. All of the fans that come with the case are wired to a fan controller.
Oh, cool.
Previously, you got the fan controller, but they weren't wired. So you had to wire everything up yourself. This, everything's pre-wired, which is nice. Of course, you have all of your ports and your power button, everything really elegant and nice on this case. Again, if you're looking for like not the gamer looking case, this is definitely going to be that case for you. You can see again up top where you would install your 360 millimeter radiator or fans up top as well. You do get all of that. Now, when we reviewed the original, we got the mesh side panel, but we opted for the tempered glass on this one. So you can see what the side of the case does look like here. And it's, like I said, it's a pretty standard case overall. Like if we look at the back, pretty standard design with your power supply at the bottom, motherboard mounts here, and then just a ton of ventilation here. You can put another fan in the back here. Again, it's kind of hard to see, but there are mounts there for a fan on the rear of the case, but you do get those three included 140 millimeter fans at the front. Opening it up, pretty standard two compartment design. So again, power supply cover, and then you have support for motherboards up to extended ATX in here. And then you do have a cutout at the front. If you did want to do radiators or anything like that on the front, you have that there as well. I really like this case. It's really easy to build in. Here you can see the fan controller back here, all of the cable routing that they give you by default, tons of room, no real issues. And it's such an easy case to build in. Everything's metal too. Like all of your hard drive trays are metal. So you get two trays at the bottom here for either 2.5 or 3.5 inch hard drives. So lots of support for maybe older systems and newer systems as well. And like I said, super easy to build in because you have a lot more space now, but it's incredibly easy to build inside here. They even sent us their Flex 2 PCI Express 4.0 riser bracket and extension cable. So we were able to mount our graphics card vertically, which is nice too. And what's really cool about this bracket is that the bracket is universal. So as long as you have a case that all of the expansion slots, when you remove them, there's no, you ever have a case where like there's little bars in between the slots? Yeah. Well, if you have a case that doesn't have that, this expansion bracket will fit there. So completely universal, which is
I think that's what I'm using in my case, actually, is like an earlier version of the Fractal bracket.
Yeah, super easy to install, and it does allow you to install like your graphics card outside and you kind of just slot it in, which is really nice. But our completed build, you can see the back, very clean, very easy to organize. And then the front here, again, super clean build. And I was kind of a bit worried about this opening because there's no cover, but when you put the side panel back on, like it, you have this section right here that kind of covers that and you're really not going to see it. But I mean, super clean build. It just looks nice. And you can't like, just the white with the wood just looks so like, yeah, if you're good. Just going for that minimalist look, this is an excellent case. Did really good in our cooling tests as well. Like I said, really, really liked it. It's going to be $179.99. The original actually launched at $129, but then that price was raised to $139 because of inflation and all that. So $40 premium for a larger case that gives you more support, and it comes with three 140 millimeter fans in it. I gave it a 9 out of 10 and recommended award. The only issue that I had, and let me see if I have a picture of it. Let's see if I can find if I actually have a picture. It just looks weird if you're looking at it from a certain angle. I don't necessarily. There's two on the side panel right here, the little white piece, there's two indents in it. And if you're looking at the case from a certain angle, you just see these two holes. They're for the mesh version, but it just looks weird. That's like, you can see them right here. See these holes?
Oh, okay.
Very faint, but especially if you're looking back at the case, I just wish that on the tempered glass version, these holes wouldn't be there. Now, again, the mesh version comes with a fan bracket that gets installed here if you want to use it.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that was my only kind of downside to the case. But overall, I think it's a nice little upgrade. Definitely much needed because I think a lot of people who are thinking about building a 14th gen Intel system, maybe this is the case that, you know, maybe the North room was cooling, the case, but you didn't necessarily have enough room for cooling, especially if you're doing like an AIO. So now you do. It's nice. And again, still very light case. And again, very easy to build in. No issues. Well, like I said, what we expect from Fractal, just a really good overall case quality. So check out the review. We also have a video on our YouTube channel if you want to check it out as well. Full video on the case. So check that out. And the next thing we're taking a look at is a laptop here. So you used to carry around, and I remember first year CES, you had this big, you had this big laptop. How much does that thing weigh?
It weighs enough. I don't know. It's thick. I don't know. I mean, like, I have it right here. It's a lug. It's heavy. Okay, let's just put it that way.
So Lenovo sent us over a workstation. And when you think of mobile workstation, you think of something that's big and clunky, like your big laptop. Well, this thing actually isn't, but it's still pretty powerful. So they sent us over their ThinkPad P14S Gen 4. And this is what they say is one of the thinnest and lightest mobile workstations. So inside, you're going to get the Intel Core i7 1370p V Pro, an NVIDIA RTX A500, 64 gigabytes of DDR5, and a 1 terabyte NVMe SSD. And I think this will solve a lot of people's problems because you're traveling, maybe you're going to a show, maybe even like CES, and you want the extra horsepower of a discrete graphics card to do your rendering or do certain things, or maybe do some 3D modeling, whatever it may be. And you don't want to have this super big, you know, you don't want to have this super clunky machine, especially if you're like, you're doing the carry, you know, you're doing carry on only, you have a backpack and you got to lug this big thing around. So I think that's where this laptop really comes in. And even the, it has a 100-watt power adapter, but I mean, look how small this, like it's really, really small power adapter.
Is that type C or is that the
type C
standard? Okay. Yeah. So it's pretty small.
Yeah. Type C, power adapter. And again, we get dual Thunderbolt ports on this, USB 3.2 Gen 2 on this. And one thing that's nice, again, this is more biz. This is a ThinkPad. So it's more business. And I know you'll appreciate this, Ryan. What is this big port over here?
Oh yeah, very nice Ethernet port.
Yeah,
you get RJ45. Yeah,
and another thing you people will appreciate. What's this big thing? That's a full size HDMI. So you get that, and you get two USB A ports. So there's one on this side.
Next thing you're gonna tell me, there's a S. Nope, there's not. I was gonna say, is there an SD card reader on this thing too?
There is not an SD card reader, but there is a
smart card
in there again for all that kind of stuff. So I really like that they have something that, again, it's not going to compete with a real heavy, clunky, big mobile workstation, right?
Right.
But it's going to give you the discrete GPU. It's going to give you a good CPU where you can do the task you want more efficiently than, you know, something like an Ultrabook or something like that, right? And it's the GPU specifically is made for those type of tasks. It's not a gaming GPU, which is really, you know, which is what you want for a mobile workstation. So I really like this, just, you know, for that reason specifically. Of course, it's a ThinkPad. You have the great keyboard. You have the little nub, as I call it, the red nub there, you know. It's a good little laptop, which I like. OLED display as well, which is going to be really good if you are somebody like a graphic designer and you want really vibrant colors. You have that. Of course, it does have the webcam, works with Windows Hello and all that stuff. Has the privacy filter too for all those people wondering about that. It does fold all the way down, although I don't see a need for it to go all the way flat like that unless you're using it in like some type of stand. But overall, like I said, I do really think this is a good sort of hybrid style laptop where you can get a lot of graphic intensive work done on the go. Whereas again, you're looking at like an Asus ZenBook, or you may be looking at like some type of Dell or maybe an Alienware. But again, those are all really gaming focused. And this is like a work focused, again, video editing, 3D modeling, CAD, stuff like that. This can really take advantage of all of those things. We have tests and stuff in the review if you want to check it out. But yeah, I think this is really, and again, I like, for somebody who's like Ryan and us here, like we're both pretty old school, like having a Ethernet port, having a full size HDMI, because again, if you are doing 3D modeling or something like that, you're probably going to need to present, and having the full-size HDMI just makes things so much easier. You don't have to carry dongles with you.
Dongles, exactly.
Yeah, and on top of that, not only do you get Thunderbolt, but you do get two USB Type-A ports as well. So again, that's just no dongles. Don't have to worry about anything being compatible. It just works.
What was the weight of this again? It was 2.2? Sorry?
2.9.
Okay, so my laptop that you were talking about is 5.8 pounds.
Yeah, so 2.9, I think it's 2.92 pounds. So again, it's just, it's a powerful little machine.
A lot of power, yeah.
And it has all of the legacy things that you don't find on, like all pretty much every new laptop is going to have only type Cs.
Yeah.
And typically your display out is going to be micro or mini, or it's going to run through the Thunderbolt 4. That's all you're going to get. So this has all of those things that you want. So check out the review. It was really fun to review this. And it's something that I can see a lot of people, again, making actual use of for their work. on the go. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Corey in the chat said, NVIDIA on Monday announced a new generation of artificial intelligence chips and software for running AI models. What's your insight on NVIDIA this year? Is something big coming? I did see all the announcements. GTC, obviously, their big push is going to be AI. I'm not a financial advisor, but investing in NVIDIA is never a bad thing. And then we will see, you know, that architecture being used on, what's it called? Being used in gaming graphics cards. I mean, it's obviously going to be a massively cut down version of these, but the same architecture will be used for gaming GPUs. So definitely something to look forward to. But I mean, NVIDIA has an influx of cash. You know, I forget how much they, I think they said it was like $40,000 for the new AI chips or something like that.
Yeah, it's wild. And they'll sell them all day.
Yeah, because that's what you need for all of this AI stuff. So, yeah, I think NVIDIA is going to do great. It's going to be, and it's crazy to see the growth, but I mean, that's where it is. That's what everything is moving to AI, right? And, you know, when you go to ChatGPT or when you go to any of these other AI websites or do anything with AI, you type something in, it's going out to a data center, and those chips or those GPUs are doing all of that work and then bringing it back to you.
And so, it's that fast.
Yeah. So, and again, that's like for companies, right? That's where the money is in the data centers. So these data centers will be popping up everywhere to do all of these AI modeling. So it's going to be, in my opinion, I mean, NVIDIA is going to continue to grow. And we always talk about this. And I've talked about this in the past. You would hate for NVIDIA to just not continue to, but slowly just not care about us gamers.
Yeah.
You know, because that AI, like, you know, here's AI as far as their sales, and here's gamers.
Right. Why even make GPUs anymore? Right?
Yeah. So, that's what we worry about when it comes to NVIDIA and AI stuff. But it's going to be a good year for them. It's going to be a real good year for them, I think. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. Moving on from reviews. Since we skipped last week, I definitely wanted to do two KSMOD Friday articles because the one from 2 weeks ago is insane. And I knew I wanted to show it to Ryan because it is crazy. So this one's by AKMOD. It's called Zero Gravity. And
yeah, this one's kinda wild.
You can kind of see why. So one thing that's really cool is this stand that this is on. You can actually buy this stand. It's from Sinister Cases, and it's a single piece, I believe it's aluminum, that holds all of this. It's really expensive, but
I'm sure
it holds all of these parts. And of course, AKMOD was fashioned all of these things together. Of course, we have our motherboard here in the side. Let me see if I have here we go. So we have our motherboard here in the center, graphics card off to the side, and then we have three radiators that are like what, 120, 140?
Yeah,
1, 2, 3. And then we have this big distro that has your pump on it as well, and all of these crazy cables, and it just goes together so well. I love the color theme of this, the blue with the white, and then we have a little display here as well. Man, this thing is cool.
Yeah, it's really unique. I'd hate to have to move it around, but it just looks so good. Like, yeah, that distro is awesome. The radiators are those awesome units from EK. They've got some custom like fan
grills,
shroud, yeah, grills on there that look really high end. I love the custom power cable going into the back there, the power supply.
And this everything just goes so well together on this. Yeah.
Man. Yeah, it looks very high end.
But yeah, the cool thing about this stand is the stand is designed as a single piece, well, sort of like a single piece, but it's made to hold all of that stuff at that angle, so it's not going to tip over.
It almost looks like one of those, like a gaming monitor stand. You know what I mean? How they have like, the legs that shoot out to the sides and then a pull up the back.
But it's I believe it's a aluminum. Piece of aluminum. That's been fashioned like that. It's really cool. It's from Sinister Cases. Check it out. But the builder of this is AKMOD. We featured his builds a bunch of times. Definitely one to check out for sure, because it's just awesome. And then this week we have a smaller form factor build. This one is from Jake Custom, and it's called Stream S. And this is something that I think you were talking about doing a small form factor build. This is pretty small.
It is.
Yeah, pretty small. Got that heat killer block there on the graphics card. Some chrome here with the red, which I like. Yeah, it's just, you know.
There's not a lot of room there, but it's executed very well. It looks really good.
That's, I hate, like, when I do small form factor case reviews, like, put my hands in there and I'm trying to get everything, and it's just, it's so annoying. So I can't imagine trying to do all of this, you know. But yeah, this is cool, and it has like the distro reservoir at the front, which I really, really like. Another one here at the back, which definitely helps with like organ, you know, running
right.
Things. You have, what is that, a 240 maybe?
That seems small for cooling the CPU and GPU.
I think there's another one. There's some
fans one behind. Oh, they're there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love the chrome with the red, which looks really great.
Yeah.
And I really like this, like all the guys that make these panels, these custom panels. This is custom made.
All the machine work that they've tools that they have access to.
Yes, I love that. There you can see
The hex heads on all that hardware, you know, keeping the case together it's all custom. Well, not custom, but it just looks nicer than a standard Philips.
Yeah, this is really cool. I would love like a little system. I can take this to CES, you know, nice little system that. Very cool. Check this one out. Shout out to Jay Custom for this build, and definitely stay tuned. I had a really busy week, so I didn't put our new contest up, but we'll be launching a contest very soon. So definitely stay tuned for that as well. Then we'll move on to news. So we talked about it in the last podcast, actually, because there were some leaks, but Intel did make it official. Core i9-14900KS Special Edition will boost up to 6.2 gigahertz on a couple cores, $100 premium over the 14900K, so it's going to be $699. And we said this last time. I mean, it's cool, and I like this. I think for you're the enthusiast. This is the fastest processor that you can currently buy. If that's what you're going for, this is what you buy, and I'm all for it. One, if you're just like an average user, I don't see the use for it. Also, if you're an average builder, if you want to run this the way it's supposed to be run, you need at least a 360, if not a 420 AIO. But yeah, cool. I was expecting it to be a little bit more expensive, so it's only $100 premium.
For how many? For what? 200 more megahertz, right?
Yes. Obviously, it's a higher bin chip too.
So
so that gives it some, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty small audience that should like really be considering it. As opposed to just like the 14900K.
Yeah, well, talking about this and being really high binned and, you know, 6.2 gigahertz, it was overclocked to 9.1 gigahertz.
God.
So it broke broke
some records, huh?
Four world records, using Asus's ROG Maximus Z790 Apex Encore. Fastest CPU frequency, so 9.1 gigahertz on this. So 9.117 gigahertz, which is just crazy. Did the PiFast, this world record, 6.79 seconds, Super PI 1 million, 3.76 seconds, and Pi Prime 32 billion, 97.59 seconds. These are all world records with this processor. So yeah,
it's pretty impressive CPU and board.
Yeah, well again, it's super high bend, so it can handle the overclock and right. You know what they're doing.
Yeah, you're not gonna expect this out of every KS, right? Like,
correct.
And obviously in the video there, they're using some very extreme cooling.
Yeah, they're using LN2 and all that kind of stuff. But pretty cool to see. There, like I said, we have the video in the article if you want to check it out. But yeah, breaking some records. That's
10
that's
gigahertz for sure. Will be cool. Yeah. We'll get there.
Do you think it'll be an Intel or an AMD chip? Probably an Intel chip.
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool to see that. Also on the Asus thing, they released a new BTF board, and BTF board was they had the Tough Gaming one, which we saw, but for like the real enthusiasts and things like that who want to kind of mess with this whole BTF, that's where of course you have the connectors on the back. Right. They now have an ROG Maximus Z790 Hero BTF that does have that connector. This, you know, for their BTF graphics card right here as well. So all the super enthusiasts who didn't want the Tough Gaming board, now you have an RG Maximus board that you can kind of mess around with. Looks clean. I mean, obviously it's going to look clean because all the connectors are on the back.
But I mean, it's just got that huge shroud over it too.
Yeah, that's what you've seen with a lot of these BTF ports. It's just like, there's just nothing.
Right. And even next to the memory, right? They've put a shroud over it, and then you've got two little tabs there for the start and reset buttons. No, it's neat. This doesn't have the... did it have the push button for the graphics card removal? On that previous image, like, it looks
it's
like...
It's up here.
Oh, so you can... That button up there will do the first PCI slot?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Nice. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, I like it. Man, ROG Maximus boards are like, they have so much stuff, like stuff you wouldn't use, like that most people won't use. Like, I've reviewed a few and I'm like, this is so awesome, but like 90% of people won't ever use, you know, some of the stuff. But yeah, it's such a great board. Expensive though. This was 799 euros, which means it's right around the same price in the US. So, but very cool. I still want to see some like power tests on this, you know, 600 watts through the board.
I think it'd be all right.
Yes. I still want to see.
I mean, it's gotta be obviously.
Well, yeah, it's obviously gotta be, but when it becomes like more mainstream, I'd like to see, especially like user tests, because like you can test it and like we can test it, but like, even with the RTX,
are we gonna end up like 4090 boards?
Yeah, because like everybody reviewed the 4090 and there were no issues, and then people got them, and then there was the all melting cables and burning cards. So be interested to see when more people get their hands on these type of products, what kind of the consensus is, because that's how they like these products grow and mature, right? Sure. So we'll see how that goes. But very cool board. Talking about graphics cards, RTX 4070 Ti now discounted to $679. So we talked about this last podcast as the year goes on, because we don't believe we're going to have any new graphics card launches, at least not till the end of the year. We're going to have price wars all the way through the end of the year, and we're only just into this year, sort of. So, $679 discounted down, and we've been saying, it's always a good time to buy parts now. Parts are readily available if you want to pick them up. And again, companies are trying to hit certain price points and they're being very aggressive. There's a lot of good sales too going on as well. And like these promo deals, like 40% off. Newegg has a lot of deals. Amazon has deals. Yeah. I mean, I'm all for price wars. To give us better, you know, give us lower cost parts, even if it's $20 off or whatever it may be. I'm definitely all for that. Now, I saw this today and I said, I was like, I really want this. And I really would 100% do this build because it looks amazing. So Asus has their ProArt line, cases, motherboards, graphics cards.
To make them with a cooler too?
Yeah, AIO. ProArt, And a company made a small form factor case that's specifically made for their graphics cards. And this looks amazing. It's made to fit their graphics cards like this. So you can actually sort of display the card because it looks, it's really cool. It's like
integrated right into the case.
Yeah. And even if you look at like the curve of the case on the, in the card, like it is made to fit perfectly. And the great thing about this is that the RTX 4060, 4070, 4070 Ti, and 4080, they're all the same size. All the ProArt cards are all the same size, have the same cooling solution.
Use it with any of them. Nice.
Yeah. So this case is made by a Chinese company. They have pre-orders open, but it's not cheap. It's $500, which is expensive.
Now, the, what board fits in this? A mini ITX?
Yeah, I assume... So these are the front ports that you get on the case. I assume either your board goes in here or here. And then there's an SFX power supply somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? I assume that's how this will work.
That does look pretty awesome.
It just looks like, imagine just having this sitting on your desk, right? And honestly, you don't necessarily have to worry about cooling because the card is it's at, sort of outside the kit. That's the biggest thing when it comes to small form factor builds is that you have your card right up against, even if it's a mesh panel it's still mesh. This gives you, and again, this allows you to display the card too.
Yep.
Which is super cool.
That does look pretty sweet.
Would you do this small form factor build? You've been talking about trying to do one.
I mean, no, but it does look good. I do like it. But I'm just wondering, like, okay, where are the outputs for the GPU?
Probably down here.
You're just going to have like some 45 or, you know what I mean? Or some 90 degree angle.
Well, it looks like this is open down here.
Right. So, but I think it would look bad having cables down there. Like maybe they've got, who knows?
Yeah. We're not sure yet, but I just think that this is super cool. And if I had the monies, I would definitely go for this because I think it's really cool. So yeah, super cool. Check that out. The company is called XIKII. I don't know how you would say that. But we have a link to their, again, it's in Chinese, so I don't know how you would order it, but you can put in a pre-order.
Yeah.
But yeah, really cool. Probably one of the cooler cases that I've seen lately is specifically made for those graphics cards. Corsair announced some new things this week, and one I think you would be more interested in, Ryan. They did announce a new water cooling kit. So this is a kit that will allow you to do your own water cooling loop with hard tubing. This is their XH405i, available in both black and white. And it's going to come with everything to do a loop for your CPU. You get your fans, you get your radiator, you get your pump that has the res built into it. You get your block, you get all of your controllers, you get your fittings, and you even get the tool to bend and cut your tubing. And this is hard tubing. And then you get your coolant all together.
Yeah, no, I like this a lot. And they're all link enabled. So like all the lighting on the fans and all the other components, super easy one cable connection to.
And the thing is like this takes all of the guesswork out of it because like
pretty much, yeah.
If you're a beginner, you're like, maybe you just like forget to buy fittings because you're just like, I didn't think I needed them. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
or like trying to get like, okay, what do I need? Like this tubing needs to be this outer diameter and this inner diameter. And so I got to make sure that the fitting matches that, right? Like that can be kind of confusing at first. Yeah.
And all of this stuff is made to work together. We've seen this from a bunch of other companies as well. I love this because I would be the beginner when it comes to water cooling and I don't know what to buy, you know, and this is just like a good starting point for a lot of people, right? And like everything is going to work together. So again, like your fans and your light, there's lighting on the res, there's lighting on the block and the fans, like it's all going to work together with Corsair's IQ software. It's all going to go together. I really like it. I think it's really cool. So both white and there's black version.
Well, it's actually a gray. It's a gray.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then they also announced water blocks that you can integrate into this as well. So you have,
and the kits come with extra fittings for using the GPU blocks.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Yep. Yep. Yeah. So this is kind of what it would look like. This is without the water block, but you know.
Yeah. The only thing you have to do is make some bends in the tubing. So you got to have a heat gun or something. And I was just thinking, like, somebody needs to come up with, and maybe I just shouldn't say it. Not that I'm going to come up with it, but like, cause you have to get like, usually have like a heat gun, and most of them nowadays, like you can stand on your table and it shoots heat up, and then you're like, you got to stand and like twist the tube and make sure, you know, you're equally doing it. Someone needs to make a device that just wraps around, like clamps over the tube, heats it up to the correct temperature, and like has a little timer or something too, you know, like it knows that this temperature for this amount of time will get this soft enough.
You better start go talk to Corsair or EK, give them a call.
Guys, know? I got it. Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? Like, cause then you can heat up the exact, like if I want to make a bend of this size or whatever, like anyways.
Yeah. No.
Better shut up before someone.
Somebody already got it there.
Yeah, they got it. They already made it.
Damn. But yeah, so they announced this, and they also announced a white version of their RMX Shift power supply series. So if you're not familiar with the RMX Shift, I really like this, especially for specific cases, more like the aquarium style cases that have the compartment down below, or with, you know, or just like a lot of cases that have the compartments down below, because this allows you to have all of your connections on the side of the power supply as opposed to the end. And with, you know, putting your power supply in that bottom compartment, you got to go over here, especially when you've like built your system, then you like add something in and you're like trying to find that connector through all the your cable mess. Yes. You know, you can see like from the main image, like how easy it would be just to go ahead and, you know, find all of your connectors. So that's their RMX series. Was available in black. Now it's available in white, going from 750 watts all the way to 1200 watts. Just more convenient, which I definitely like, and in specific scenarios, definitely more convenient for that. So yeah, good to see some more new products from Corsair rolling out. And we go to some mobile gaming news, and we've been talking about the Switch 2. It's an interesting news. So Switch 2 supposedly will be supporting NVIDIA DLSS, you know, for upscaling or whatever it may need to be, because maybe what's inside isn't powerful enough, or, you know, but this is from a good source. Moore's Law is dead. YouTube channel, always good when it comes to these leaks. This is, they cited NVIDIA sources that the Switch 2 will use DLSS, and that NVIDIA presented Nintendo with several different options for their SoC for the actual, you know, what it's going to be powered off of. So, yeah, I mean, NVIDIA-based Switch 2?
Yeah.
Possibly. Again, this is all speculation, but that'd be a big win for NVIDIA. Talking about, like, you know, you have all the AI stuff now, and then they, you know, this is going to be, Switch 2 is going to be a very, very popular. So that's a massive order from Nintendo for this SoC if they do get that. So I think that's going to be really cool for NVIDIA again on that, because AMD is kind of, especially when it comes to like the PC ones, the PC game handhelds, right, like AMD has been crushing that for that. So,
and they've got the consoles, or at least Microsoft, and so
so pretty interesting. And then talking about price wars with these gaming handhelds, the ROG Ally, which we've covered extensively on this podcast, the Z1 Extreme one is now down to $100 off, $599.
Sweet. It's a great deal for somebody.
Yeah, we say this all the time, like we just wouldn't play it. Just because I don't have a commute, you know. I'd love to.
Yeah, I don't have anything against it at all.
It's I think
I'm not the ideal customer for it.
Yeah, so $100 off through Best Buy, I believe. Yeah, through Best Buy. Great deal, man. You know, and then the other one is
that one's $200 off.
Yeah, what's the difference?
7-inch, 120 hertz.
Oh, because this one's the Z1 and this one's the Z1 Extreme. So this is the lower end.
Still, $400 feels like a pretty good deal.
Yeah, very, very, very affordable. And again, all of these companies, like, because we had the MSI Claw came out, we have the Lenovo one, mm-hmm. They're all fighting for that market right now. And it's apparently a massive market. So again, we'll see. And again, you're not going to see Gen 2s of these till at least Christmas time, probably. So again, you'll see price wars with these. So these are going to get, they're not going to get like, they're not going to be like $100, but you'll see some deals like this come up, you know, and we have like summer sales and all that kind of stuff. So really exciting time for mobile gaming. And we see a ton of these coming out too. You know, just a really good time for any, if you're looking to build a new PC or looking at a mobile kind of gaming device as well, lots of interesting stuff. And lots of, like I said, lots of deals, which I'm definitely excited for. So,
yeah.
Moving on to what we have coming up next week, I'm taking a look at the first, you know, even though that case we saw that looked perfect for,
that was unofficial.
That was not an official Asus product that was made by a Chinese company. Which I think Asus should just be like, hey, like, give me that design.
Yeah, here's a check.
Let us use that. But no, I'll be taking a look at the first Asus ProArt case. So this
is still an amazing looking case.
Yeah, so this is the ProArt PA602. It's massive. It's huge. Probably one of the bigger cases that I reviewed. Has a ton of really cool features. One of the biggest ones being 420 millimeter radiator support in the top of the case.
It's a long case.
And it comes with two 200 millimeter fans in the front just to blow in air in. Again, this is made for the creator. This is made for somebody who's, you know, it's not so much crazy RGB looks. There's no RGB on this case. There's a lot of really cool features that we haven't seen in other cases that is in this case. So I'm really excited to tell you guys about it next week. Also taking a look at some security home cameras that don't need to be plugged in. So you charge them up, which I really like because you're trying to put a camera somewhere.
Then you got cables or you got to run cables.
You got to run cables. It's one of the most annoying things. So this is from SpotCam. This is their Solo Pro, which is, you can see right here. And we worked with them since their original first camera. This is all the way, I mean, I was living in PA, so this is like seven, eight years ago. The original spot cam we reviewed. And I'm pretty sure it was my first ever smart home camera too. And they've had other ones, but this is their newest one. It's the Solo Pro. And yeah, these are really cool. They're small and they come with this really, it's kind of hard to see in this picture, but you can basically, like, I don't know, it's really hard to say, but like you can move them around really easily. So I'll be talking to you about those. And then Ryan is taking a look at the Torbox Lite. What is the Torbox Lite, Ryan?
So it is a smaller version of the Torbox that I looked at a couple months ago. It's like a digital content creation tool. So in addition to like your mouse and keyboard, there's a lot of really nice buttons here. It's just a scaled down, not necessarily size wise, but it has like a few less buttons and features, but still feature packed for content creation.
Nice, very cool. So we're excited to take a look at
scroll wheels and dials and buttons, and yep, that's great.
Yeah, I think these things, like the, and you talked about it when you reviewed the other one. It's like a lot of people are kind of turned off by this. Like, I have to learn something new. But once you kind of get it,
you do. Yeah,
it's like such an invaluable tool
for
your workflow. And I think if something makes your workflow and saves you time, especially if you're a creator, definitely
for sure
worth considering, at least giving it a try, you know. Old man in the chat says, my doorbell camera is battery powered. It's amazing how long. Yeah, I have the, which one do I have, Ryan? The,
I don't know.
The Wyze.
Yeah, the Wyze. I have Wyze, the original Ring.
Yeah, I have the Wyze Video Doorbell 2. And the Video Doorbell 2 has the battery, or, you know, that you, not battery, but well, it is a battery, but you just charge it via USB. And it's, yeah, so I just, and what's really nice about that is all these, especially when all these video doorbells came out, you had to like connect them into your actual doorbell system, like in your house. Yeah. And like, I live in an apartment. I can't,
you don't have a doorbell. Yeah.
So you couldn't, you know, or they had to be plugged into power somehow. You get to route power into them. With that one, the reason I bought it was because you could just charge it like every 4 or 5 months, you know?
Yeah.
Charge it for a day and it's good for, again, like 4 or 5 months. And you just put it right outside your door. It's, yeah. I think a lot of the new ones are like that because it blew up, like they realize not everybody owns a home, or, you know, and there's like a factor of like, okay, somebody's not savvy with that type of stuff either. They don't want to do their whole
old one off.
And, yeah.
It's easier to just plug in a USB cable, charge it for a day and slap it back up.
Yeah, so pretty cool. But yeah, I'm excited for the Spot Cam stuff. And we have some other interesting products coming up as well, too. So yeah, really excited for all of that. We'll move on to our question of the week, where we ask a question. Okay. Typically, it's tech-related, and this one is sort of tech-related. So out of all the brands that have ever ceased operations in the tech world, what is one brand that you would bring back? If you could.
Well, so I have two answers, I guess. One of them, because the first one's because they're not really gone, but I wish they were.
I know exactly who you're going to say, but go ahead.
I wish EVGA was still making GPUs. Mm-hmm, so they're still around, but they're not making.
That's like that's the first thing that, when I was like making this question, that was the first thing that came to my mind.
But past that, maybe like, I'll say A-Bit, but
okay.
I was, you know, like just, and that's just because they had like a soft spot. Cause it was like my first motherboard brand. Right. So that's probably the one that I can think of. I was thinking Zalman as well, but they've kind of made a resurgence back.
Yeah. So they're not their original coolers,
but they're not exactly. So what about you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was EVGA. I think everybody has, especially if you had built a system in the past, I don't know, 5, 10 years, like if you use an EVGA part, you realize how good, and all the stuff, especially during the shortage, all the stuff they did for gamers and like they weren't price gouging people and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, EVGA is still making power supplies. They just don't make graphics cards. Maybe one day they'll come back. Well, who knows? For me, I think it would be so cool. And we got a little excited. I think it was like maybe a year ago. We saw some stuff.
Are you going to say DFI?
No, that was the thought in my head. I have a really soft spot for DFI as well. Yeah. But no, it would be 3DFX.
Oh, okay. Sure.
3DFX. Their marketing was so crazy, and they made parts that were like insane for the time. And that were like real, they were like really enthusiast parts, like crazy. Like they weren't like a mainstream. I mean, they had their mainstream graphics cards, but like they put out like the Voodoo, you know, the Voodoo 5000, you know, like they put out these crazy parts that everybody liked.
I didn't know that RCA, old man in the chat said he missed RCA. Those electronics brands made in the US. I didn't realize RCA was an American company. Yeah. And I also didn't realize that they went out of business in 1987.
Really?
I know, right? It feels like it would have been more like,
I think that's 90s. Closer
to now. Yeah.
And he said,
Radio Shack. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some pretty cool. Ryan just mentioned DFI. So I built a DFI LAN party system, and it was so cool. Again, we're aging ourselves, but DFI was a motherboard brand, and they had this motherboard called LAN Party, which was, you know,
just wild looking.
It was a gamer's. It was a game. Yeah, it was a gamer's board, but the motherboard. Let me see if I can find a picture of it.
Like maybe. And we've talked about these brands before, like a Chain Tech or, you know, like.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, so like this is the box, and like me, and I was like, I don't know, I was probably a little bit. I'll see if I can find. This is such a small picture.
Just that crappy drawing, and like the balls bottle and Mountain Dew cans on the desk in the drawing.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's from Hexus all the way back in 2003. Hexus. Yeah, so 2003, I was like a senior in high school, and I was like, oh, this is me. I'm this guy. I'm this guy with the
and the guy back there's got the backpack on, so he could carry.
Yeah, his I remember that.
Case too. Yeah. Oh yeah.
But the board for its time, we've seen a ton of boards like this, but as you can see, all these pictures, like they were crazy colored. Mm-hmm. And even the SATA cables, or not SATA cables, the IDE cables at the time were like neon, were like, yeah. Like, you know, your hard drive cable was like this neon color. It was so cool.
Rounded cables. That one picture might show them. The legit reviews link. Where, second row, second column. Yeah, right there. Nope. Right. This to the right, one. Yeah.
Let's see. Show the cables. 500 picks. I don't think I will. Let's see. You can kind of see them. They're right there, but they're yellow in this one.
Look, there's a floppy disk included with it.
You know what's so funny? Talking about floppy disks, and I got a motherboard into review. It's a brand new motherboard, brand new reverse connection motherboard. And it came with the CD.
With the CD, I was gonna say probably.
I posted on social media. I was like, "What is this? Why is this coming with? Why do I have a CD?"
I feel like my last Hero motherboard probably came with one.
I don't remember. I don't know. It just CD. Nobody's using those. But yeah, no. I think for me, 3DFX, it would be really cool to see, especially in this day and age, like what they would come out with. I think, and it would be crazy. Like they would, the stuff that they did back then, and even like their marketing, like they had these like crazy, what was like the Computer Shopper or like, what was the big gaming magazine back
then? Yeah. Well, Maximum PC.
Like they had these full page ads that were like crazy.
I just thought of another one too. OCZ.
Oh yeah.
Like the original OCZ, not Toshiba OCZ.
OCZ used to have the best parties at CES. I'll just leave it at that.
I had a OCZ power supply. Their memory was really good.
Yeah. They were another one of those companies that were like for enthusiasts. Like they were, all their stuff was really geared towards enthusiasts. And that's like, it's really hard for companies like that to survive because you need a mainstream product that's going to sell, right? Like
for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the tough part. That's probably why we have like all this nostalgia for those brands, even like Zalman. Zalman was making stuff that was like only for enthusiasts, you know? So it's hard, you know, you have like Asus obviously was able to have this crazy enthusiast brand. With their ROG and their stuff like that, but they also had the majority of probably of their sales comes from all of the mainstream stuff. But yeah, pretty, like I said, pretty fun to remember all of the all the old stuff. So, but yeah, guys, that's it for episode 400. So
that's funny. Old man said, well, does anybody know what happened to Swift Tech? I literally just opened a tab to Swift Tech. I was like, that's another one. They're still around.
Yeah, they're still around. They're not
just aren't as big. And they used to make like the best water cooling stuff.
Yeah, no, I think they still do. And I think the stuff, I have seen some recent reviews of Swift Tech stuff. Like it's still pretty good, but it's just not as big, you know?
Yeah, I had a wild looking CPU cooler back in the Athlon 64 days from them.
Yeah,
it was like a bunch of pins that looked like screws kind of to get a ton of surface area. Yeah, it was kind of cool.
It's kind of interesting to see all the stuff from back in the day. Always good to remember that stuff. But we aren't done here. Of course, if you guys do follow along with us, we always do a gaming night on Wednesdays after the podcast. Ryan hosts that stream over on our Twitch. twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. There it is. Ryan will have that up. We're playing Apex. We are going to play a new game next week, I believe. Going to try something new. But this week, we are going to do Apex. It'd be good to play some games since like, we took last week off. So get some of that anger out with some of the games. And we'll hopefully get some wins tonight. I don't know. I feel like I'll be a little rusty there. But we appreciate everybody for coming out. Corey and Old Man in the chat. Good to see you guys as always. And we will see everybody next week.